Well, praise the Lord. Well, thank the Lord that he gives seed to the sower. Amen. And we also want to thank you for obeying the Lord in sowing that seed. We praise God for that. Glory to God. You may be seated. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Before we get started, let's declare and make our declaration this morning. And right after this, I have a short video I want to show you that will take us right into the message this morning. Everybody got your Bibles? Well, lift up your Bibles and let's make our declaration this morning. Hallelujah. Point your Bible to your feet. How many know where the devil is? He's under your feet, right? Yeah, let him know that he's under your feet. Well, lift up your Bibles. I am a believing believer. I am all here. I am present. I'm all in for God. I'm attentive and my mind is alert. My spirit is full of the presence and the power of God. I'm a carrier of his glory. Therefore, my body is full of energy. I live my life full. Full of God's word. And full of God's spirit. I want what God has for me today. And I will not leave here without it. I will hear the word. I will heed the word. Something supernatural and wonderful is about to happen. Change is about to take place in my life. If you believe that, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. But turn to your Bibles in John chapter 15 and hold your finger there. Are we ready, Melissa? For the video.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. John 15, 1 through 10.
You know where we're going, right, this morning? Praise God. So let's look at that scripture in John chapter 15. And as you turn in your page to that scripture text, let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we are here, Lord God, together. Lord, you said, Lord, where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst of us. And Father, we're so grateful, Lord, that you are in the midst of us, Father, that we can build our lives, our foundational life, everything, the foundation of God upon you and you alone, Lord Jesus. For you are the solid rock. You are that true vine, Lord, that we are connected to. And Father, we thank you, Lord, as we remain in you, Lord, that we will surely thrive in our lives and the life that you have for us We ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone say,
amen,
amen, amen. Last week I talked about, or I made a statement, or more of a question, which was more of a challenge, I believe, and I hope you accepted it as is. But what I said last Sunday, is there merely an appearance of our Christianity to those who profess to be Christians, right? Or is there a real, genuine substance, a Christ-likeness, or real fruit, or fruitfulness that is being developed and displayed for the glory of God? So we talked about, are you for real? Turn to somebody and say, are you for real? So we want to do a part two, are you for real? But we're going to be more specific. We're going to talk about abide and thrive. Abide and thrive. You know, I read a story about a boy who would escape out of his bedroom window after he was punished or sent to his room, right? And what he would do would he would crawl out of the bedroom window down the old fruit tree onto the ground without his parents knowing. One day he overheard his father talking to the tree, this fruit tree. He said, you haven't bear much fruit this past few years. I'm giving you your last chance, your final chance to bear fruit. How many of you talk to your fruit trees? I do. In fact, I had a conversation with my soursop tree a few weeks ago. I told him, tree, you are blessed and you are fruitful. And if you don't bear fruit, because I'm a tither, I'm a covenant, it keeps me connected to my covenant, I'm a sower. So the Bible says that your fruit shall not cast its time, right? So you're going to have to bear fruit. If not, I'm cutting you down. And guess what? There's a whole bunch of fruit. But anyway, this father is speaking to this fruit tree, and he says, I'm giving you your last final chance. If I don't see any fruit tomorrow morning, I'm cutting you down. So the boy is overhearing this conversation that the dad is having. So what the boy does that evening, he and a friend, they buy a bushel of apples. And during the night, they tie the apples to all the barren branches. The next morning, the father could not believe his eyes. He said to his wife, honey, I can't believe it. That old tree hasn't given fruit for years, and now it's covered with apples. But you know what the most amazing thing is? It's a pear tree. Everybody say, abide and thrive. You know, Jesus, the great teacher that he was, right? He uses what he sees around him, creation itself. You notice all his parables. He uses the hills. He uses the wheat. He uses all of these creations to give his disciples a illustrated sermon or an objective lesson, right? And in teaching his disciples, but also teaching us as well, right? An important spiritual lesson. And Jesus begins to explain to them with these words, and we're reading John 15. Verses 1 through 8, he begins to explain to them with these words. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Some of your translation might say husbandman, or what I'm going to use is gardener, is one of the other translations. So he begins to define himself in this account. He says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. And he says, every branch in me that does not bear or produce fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes or he cuts it back, that it may bear More fruit. Everybody say more fruit. He said, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. How many of you know the word will give you a spiritual bath, so to speak? You know, when you're in the world, right, you hear conversations, you hear all kinds of things, and you feel kind of like, kind of yucky, right, sometimes, right? Even when we work, right, those of you who do hard work during the day, you know, you come home, you just want to take a bath, and you feel refreshed, right? Well, that's the same thing. The word always cleanses us, right, from all the things of the world. And it brings us back into perspective, you know, who we are and who God is. You know, it just feels clean inside. So he says, you are clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. Now he begins to, you know, first he begins to describe who he is and the Father is. Now he begins to really tell us who he is and what you are. He begins to reemphasize again, right? He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Just like when God told Jeremiah, right? Go down to the potter's house. And he reemphasized that I am the potter and you are the clay. And this is what he's doing. I am the vine and you are the branches. He begins to define us in this account. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, or exalted, or honored, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears or produce much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You know, here Jesus simply tells believers, how many believers? He tells us, if you abide in me, the true vine, then you'll thrive in how to be productive in bearing much fruit that glorifies Father. That's what he's saying. So as disciples, right, he's speaking to the disciples, but how many of you know we're disciples as well, right? We're followers of Christ. We follow his teachings and obey his teachings, of whom we are. And Jesus said, believers will not just bear some fruit or a little fruit, but he said, you will bear much fruit. How many of you want much fruit? I do. Now, just as a side note, you can write this down. Jesus is talking about fruit. And Paul, in Galatians chapter 5, he begins to specifically describe what those fruits are. So Paul says in Galatians 5:22, but the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, produces or brings forth this kind of fruit in our lives. And notice the kind of fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in your life as a believer. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are all the fruits that he's talking about specifically. The fruit of the Spirit, which are the character traits of the divine life that were found and evident in the nature of Jesus Christ. All of these fruit that I mentioned to you is the very nature of Jesus Christ, his characteristics and his traits. And this is what Jesus is talking about when he's saying, bear much fruit. God is working in and through us for the very reason to bring us and to make us more like his son, right? That's what he's endeavoring to do by the Holy Spirit. And this is part of it. So the fruit of the Spirit that the Lord is saying to believers will produce if we abide in him. Amen. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is the spontaneous inward working of the Holy Spirit within us. How many of you know the Holy Spirit continues to work within us?
Amen.
Amen. Because it is the Spirit of God who produces these characters or these traits that has lasting value and substance for the child of God. Not only will it benefit you as a believer, but it will also benefit others when we're talking about fruit. You know, I used to have a whole bunch of bananas. Now I know why they say, you know, the term, you can go bananas. When you have a whole bunch of them, you don't know what to do with them. But, you know, when you have a lot of fruit, you kind of like give it all away, right? So others can enjoy it and partake of it.
Yeah.
And I believe that's the same concept Jesus is wanting us to understand. That when we begin to, the Holy Spirit begins to develop these traits and these characteristics within us, it draws people to you. Because, you know, how many of you know, if you talk about fruit, you know, anytime somebody wants to go on a diet, what have you, the first thing they tell you is, oh, I got to eat more fruit and vegetables. Fruit always comes up, right? Because fruit is noted to be healthy, right, or sweet. It has all these fibers, nutrients, and vitamins in fruit. And I find that every fruit that I eat, I have never found one that was sour. It's always sweet. So you bring that example of the fruit of the Spirit into your life, right? The fruit of patience or self-control. Amen. It makes you sweeter. Everybody say sweet lips. Amen. So as believers, I believe we all have an inward desire to grow, to thrive in being better, in being successful, right? In really making something of value of our lives. Now, what that looks like will obviously be different between all of us. But in saying that, I believe that no one here this morning who desires to grow, to thrive, or to be successful, having a productive life like a business, a marriage, a family, a career, a ministry, what have you, we never start off with the mindset to fail, right? Not at all as believers, but we want to thrive, right? We want to thrive and really be productive and an asset, not only to ourselves, to our church, to our community. But the problem is, for most people, is they might not have a clue or an idea, the know-how to even begin that process, or we can call it that journey, of how do I grow? How do I be successful? How to attain and accomplish what needs to be done in me getting to that place? Everybody follow me. Tell the other person, but no worries. Don't worry, because Jesus Jesus is going to tell us how to be successful and how to thrive. And he uses, like I said, an objective lesson of how to strive and thrive in being successful and productive by the simple illustration of gardening. Right? Let me ask you, how many of you are good gardeners? Or maybe I shouldn't. Don't raise your hands. Just keep it to yourself. How many of you are good gardeners? You have a green thumb. Everything that you plant, it grows and it thrives. How many of you don't have a green thumb? That everything you grow barely survives and it dies. Totally the opposite, right? Now let me ask you another question. Now, why is the Incredible Hulk? Everybody heard of the Incredible Hulk? This big dude? Hulk, okay. What is it, Hulk? Oh, Hulk. 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 Okay. All right. What is today? March. Boy, I was trying to go this whole year without making a mistake. My first one. Well, why is the Incredible Hulk the greatest gardener? Anybody? Okay. Because he's got green thumbs and green fingers. Right? So the promise that Jesus makes to us for a fruitful and productive life is if we abide in him. Sounds pretty easy, right? Abiding in him. But we got to find out what that word abides means, because he uses it 7 times in this text that we've read. So he must be telling us something in order for us to understand how to thrive, right, and how to be fruitful if we abide. So we got to find out what that word is. Now, the word abide is not some daily word that we use in our language or our vernacular every day, right? I don't say, I need the elders to abide with me 5 minutes after the church. They'll say, what? All right? Is Pastor okay? Because we don't use that kind of word, abide, right? But he uses this, that we abide in him. So one of the definitions, or there's many, but the word abide means to dwell or to live in. And the implication of the word dwell or to live in is more to the fact that to live or to dwell in a house. Right? Your home where you live or you dwell, that's your permanent house. You don't occasionally visit that place. You dwell and you live in that place. You know, if you go to the hotel for the weekend, that's an occasional visit. You're visiting that place. But your home is where you live and you dwell in. That's what he's saying. When you abide in me, you're living and you're dwelling permanently in me. Does that make sense? In fact, Acts chapter 17, you can just write this down. I forget, Acts 17, 25, I believe. It says, for in him, in Christ, we live, move, and have our being. You ever heard that scripture before? In him, we live, move, and have our being. The scripture is implying that everything, everybody say everything. Everything about your life, your being, your existence, your designated purpose comes solely from him. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
It says in him or in Christ we live, we move, we have our being, our totality. Think about this. Think about what the Lord is saying. When you look back to where God has moved and brought you from, I don't know if you can see that far. But look to where God has moved you and brought you from, either spiritually or physically. Maybe a year ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, thus far to this present moment. Or even just think about last year, 2020, right? Alone. That some would just forget and erase that whole year from our memories. But has not God always been faithful? Amen. Through it all and seeing us through, right? From where we were to where we are thus far, right? And he will continue to do so. So I say that because therefore we can look forward. Everybody say, look forward. We can look forward in anticipation to the life and the glorious days that God has set before us with great expectations. Amen. Abide means to live, to dwell, or to continue, to rest, or to remain. The word remain means to be steadfast and consistent. You see, if we remain and be steadfast and consistent to the vine, Jesus said, we'll bear much fruit. Now, think about that. If I remain steadfast and consistent to him, the promise is I will bear much fruit. But I have to remain in him in order for that fruit to be produced. Now, if you're like me, you know, I want to know, just how do I do that? How do I abide and remain in him, right? To abide in Jesus. So my life and your life will be productive and will bear much fruit. First of all, by giving attention to God daily. Amen. We're talking about abiding in Jesus. By giving attention to God daily, not occasionally, not sporadically, not when we feel like it, but daily. Amen. By daily depending and acknowledging our need for him and for him. Every day, daily. Lord, I need you. I'm dependent on you. It's amazing as parents, we care for our children. We provide everything for them, the education that they need, you know. But all in the meantime, all of this is preparation for them to be able to fly the nest, so to speak, to equip them with all the necessary things, the values we impart to them, you know, all of these things, right? So that they can live their independent life as grown adults. But now when we come into a relationship with Father God, it seems like we have to live in a dependent life on him on a daily basis. But he wants to, right? He wants us to. Amen. And this is how we abide in him, by depending and acknowledging our need of him and for him. Not when we're only in a crisis or when we're in trouble, but a daily need of dependency. Spending personal quality time in that secret place with him, wherever that place is. When I used to commute to Lahaina, Kapalua, my secret place was in my truck every day, 1 hour going and 1 hour back. That was my secret place. And there were people who would be hitchhiking, and my personal time with God was so important. I'm sorry, I can't pick you up. I want to, but you're going to invade my personal time that I have with God. And this is more important. Not that I want to be mean, but this is valuable, my secret place with God. And when we have this secret place with God, Turn off your cell phone. Shut off your computer. In fact, put your cell phone someplace else. All you need is ting. It'll distract you. It's like we heard earlier about distractions. It's amazing how a slight little distraction can pull you out from what God wants to talk to you about. And that distraction, which was supposed to be a distraction from the enemy, now becomes an attraction. It has your attention. And God is here saying, hey, what about me? So daily, everybody say daily. By daily digging, I mean digging and feeding on the Word of God. You know, thank God we get these scriptures where we get, you know, a scripture that ain't enough. It's great, but we got to dig and feed on the Word. The times that we're living in, right, is a time that we got to press even harder into Him and trusting Him. Thank God, God has given us the authority and the dominion on this earth, right, as His people. But there are times we have to back off from that and begin to draw to Him in intimacy of bowing down to Him and saying, God, I don't know what to do. Things are out of control. And just reverence yourself and bow down to Him. And just spend a time of intimacy with Him. Amen. So daily digging and feeding on the Word of God. Study the Scriptures diligently in gaining a deeper knowledge and understanding of Him. Right? What pleases Him and what displeases Him? Lord, is my life glorifying You? Or is there something in my life that You're not pleased with? Amen? And that will only come through intimacy of feeding on the Word and digging. Amen. You notice that you don't find precious minerals laying on the sidewalks like gold and rubies and diamonds. Amen. You don't find them just laying around. You just see asphalt. But in order to find those precious minerals, you got to dig and dig deep for find those things, right? And just like the Word of God, in order to find those nuggets of truths, you got to dig deep into the Word and spending time with Him daily. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent. Be diligent. Study and be diligent. The word diligent means constant in effort and persistent to present yourself approved or favored to God. As a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. Amen. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, reading from the Message translation, it says, don't for a minute let this book of Revelation be out of mind, or we can say out of mind or out of sight. Some of us sometimes, we don't even consider the word of God. Only when we're faced with crisis. But God says, this is a book of Revelation. Of what? Of Me. Of Me. You want to know Me? Get in this book. And dig and feed on it. Meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. Practice makes perfect. Then you get wherever you're going, then you'll succeed. Everybody say abide, and you'll thrive. So we abide by daily digging into the Word and feeding on the Word of God. Daily talking and conversing with God in prayer. That's one of the ways we abide. Adam and Eve, the Bible says, met God daily of the cool of the day. The Bible says Jesus made it a daily habit of conversing with the Father every day, daily. And from that daily conversing with the Father, He found what His assignment was for that day. Amen. So this is how we abide. Daily fellowship. By gathering together amongst believers. Right? People of like faith as the body of Christ, worshiping and elevating Jesus and ministering and serving in the house of God. This is all part of abiding in God. Abiding is simply looking for God in our daily activities. Looking for God in your daily activities. When you're going to work, when you're at work, when you're at the shopping center, wherever, the grocery store, you're looking for God in your daily activities. But not only looking for God in your daily activities, but also recognizing the things God is doing in the most simplest things that you come across. Amen? And recognizing those things and thanking God for it. Like I said the other week, I said, I went to pay for something, and the person said, oh, it was already paid for. And I'm looking, who did that? So I just said, I just stopped and just thank God. Thank you, Lord. In those simple things, that we say, I deserved it. But recognizing those things, sometimes, we're so focused on the spectacular things of God that we miss the supernatural things of God. And supernatural can be anything, that you didn't have and it was done for you. Now, in our text, anybody receiving something this morning? Okay. Now, in our text, the picture that Jesus is painting for us is one of producing a healthy vine or a healthy person, spiritual. See, a good gardener does two things based upon what we read. First of all, a good gardener cuts off the dead, the things that are dead. But he prunes the fruitful. Now, when you talk about cut or prune, it sounds kind of painful. It sounds painful, right? But it's needful. Amen. It's needful in producing a healthy plant or a healthy, fruitful spiritual life. So what the gardener does, which is the Father, right? The Father is the gardener. He looks at the branches, he looks at your life that are not producing fruit. Because he looks at it, he says, you know what? I got to cut this off. It's a dead weight. A dead weight. A dead weight is it's receiving and sucking out the resources or nutrients, but it's not supplying or contributing anything. That's a dead weight. Therefore, it's cut off. Amen. It has to go. Do you know of someone or anybody in your relationship or family who fits that category as a dead weight? You ever told you said to your mind, man, so-and-so, it's time for this deadbeat or dead weight. It's time for her to go, or he. Everybody just look at me. I think we've all thought of it. We've known of somebody or someone. This father and mother had what they call a deadbeat son. Had no aspiration of moving forward in his life. But he lived with his mom and dad. So the dad had he was a deadbeat son. So the dad had this bright idea. He says, you know what? I'm going to put a whole wad of $100 bills on the kitchen table. I'm going to put a Bible. And I'm going to put a cheap bottle of wine on the kitchen table. So when he's doing this, the wife walks in and says, "Hey, what are you doing?" I said, "I just had this bright idea. I'm going to put a cash of water money, a Bible, and a cheap bottle of wine. And when our son comes back, we're going to watch. I mean, we want to hide, but we're going to watch. If he takes the money, he's going to be a businessman. But if he takes the Bible, he's going to be a preacher. But if he takes the wine, then he's going to be a wino." So the wife says, "Oh, that's a good idea." So as they're doing that, they hear the son opening the door with the keys. They run in the other side room, but the door half closed. They're looking through the, they can see the son. They see the son come in. He walks in. He sees all these items on the table. He picks up the money. He looks through it, sticks it in his pocket. Picks up the Bible, shuffles through the Bible, sticks the Bible in his back pocket. Grabs the cheap wine, opens it, gulps half of it down, closes it, and then walks and leaves and goes out the door. The wife is just like, "He took everything. What are we going to do?" The husband goes, "You know, this is not good. This is not good. He's going to be a politician." I gotta drink some water. That was a long one. So everybody say, cut. All right, that's one of the processes that the gardener does. He cuts and he separates the dead branches or something that is dead. The other process is pruning. See, when a branch has a healthy connection to the vine or to a tree, it grows, it thrives. But as it's growing, the nutrients begins to spread out on that branch. So it's pruned, right? To become more fruitful. One of the things I used to do with our banana trees is, you know, you have the main banana tree and then you have all the keikis, right? Sister Jenny, you probably know this too. In order for your bananas to get bigger, you separate some of the keikis so all the nutrients go to the main plant. The more keikis you have, the more it has to feed all of these little ones. So if you separate them, replant them, certain area, and you just have one to what we call the mama plant, then the bunches of the banana bunches become bigger. So this is the same concept that he's using, that to prune, the whole objective is to prune it so that it'll produce more fruit, right? Now, how many of you know God is not the incredible Hulk? But he is the great gardener. Not the Hulk, but God. That God does not prune to hurt us, but he uses difficulties to grow us. Let me repeat that again. God doesn't prune to hurt us, but he uses difficulties to grow us in bearing much fruit. But I can tell you what, pruning or cutting away, of what pruning or cutting away will look like in your life. I don't know how it's going to look like. But what I do know is it'll be uncomfortable and it'll hurt temporarily. See, when God prunes, Because I've pruned my trees and I know the whole science behind pruning, right? And when I'm cutting away branches, I'm pruning, you know, I'm severing so that this particular branch can bear much fruit. So I know the science behind it. So this text, kind of, I know what God is doing in the concept because of the natural things. But when God prunes, oftentimes it can mean removal. God will cut away the old, the bad, the sin, right? So new peace, new joy, new patience, new love, new fruit can grow in your life. See, God will cut away things that makes us uncomfortable. He'll prune away people. He'll prune away relationships, things or situations that hinder us from becoming more fruitful. See, without pruning, we will never experience the life that Jesus wants for us. Amen. Now, Jesus uses the analogy, right? He uses this analogy. He being the true vine, right? So there can also be false vines if he's the true vine. But he's saying, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener, and we are the branches. But you probably already knew that, right? Now he's talking about how the Father tends to us as branches. And he also makes known to us his purpose, right? His purpose for us is to do what? To produce fruit. Amen. That's his objective, to produce fruit so that the fruit that you bear will glorify me. And that's what he's after in your life. He's not after apples or grapes, but to grow in you things of spiritual substance and of value to cultivate you, to develop you in your peace, patience, kindness, and faithfulness. You know, I have a banana tree that bore fruit 3 weeks ago. Now, I look at it, and I can tell it's not ready. Amen. See, when you receive Christ into your life, the Holy Spirit came in as well. He brought in all of those traits or characteristics of Christ at that moment. Just like that banana tree bunch that is not ready, still undeveloped, some of those fruit in our lives is still undeveloped. Amen. Some of it might be developed in others, in other areas. But I can say for a fact that there's some fruit in my life that has been developed and some have not yet. But as long as I stay connected to the vine, it will be developed and it will bear fruit. But the whole objective is stay connected, remain in him. Amen. Because that's where your nutrients comes from. The life flow comes from. So remain in that life cycle in Christ. Amen. And those fruits will be developed in your life. You know, you hear some people say, oh, you know what? Sorry for getting angry. But that's just the way I am. I don't have the fruit of patience. Not so. Because when you became born again, you had, see, the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. The Bible says the gifts of the Spirit, which is the 9 gifts, are as the Spirit wills. You can't just turn on that gift whenever you want. It's when the Spirit wills to operate in your life, the gift, as a believer. But the fruit of the Spirit is different. It is given to all of us. All of us have it. So to say that, I apologize for being unfaithful, you know, because I'm not faithful. I'm not a faithful person. as a believer. That's not true. You have it, but it hasn't been developed. Stay connected. Tell your neighbor, stay connected. You know, yesterday I was playing with my granddaughter, Joy. She's next door in our nursery. And she had this little tape player that plays all these nursery rhymes. So she turns it on, and she's jumping and clapping, and she's pointing at me. So she wants me to join her. So I'm going like this on the sofa. So she runs across the room and runs back, and the song is done. So she pushes again, and she looks at me. So Papa gotta. She runs across full blast, comes back, and she's doing this, and she's laughing, and we're just having a great time. But this time, when she ran across, I thought she was going to run and press the recorder. She runs full blast and right into my gut, like she does. And because I wasn't ready for that, right, it caught me off guard. Because, if I see her coming towards me, then at least I can get ready for impact. But she caught me off guard, and she hit me. She got me right in the gut, and I was that close of losing my ear. And if you ever lost your ear, you know how it feels like. And I got a little irked at that. But she didn't know what happened. But she's jumping and she's laughing, So I just thought, okay, let's do it again then. Just laugh it off. I share that because I can say, wow, there's some fruit that is developing in me, that maybe at one time wasn't there before. And how many of you can say that for yourself as well? So if I abide, I will thrive. I will bear much fruit, and God will be glorified. See, how many of you know God wants to cultivate a thriving marriage? Amen. In Christ, dead things are brought back to life. If you have a dead marriage, Christ can bring that back to life. He wants to grow a genuine desire and compassion in our hearts for your neighbor, that honorary neighbor next door, the fellow coworker, and for all people. God wants to grow your God-given gifts and abilities. And he wants to stretch you. And he wants to enlarge you to what you think you can do. The Bible says, with God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He wants us to have a can-do attitude. Amen. Listen, church, this is what the Lord has promised us. If you abide in me, I will not only grow something wonderful and good in your life, but you will thrive in this life. But we have to stay connected to the source. Amen? Let me close with Galatians chapter 5. Let me read it from the Passion Translation. You'll be really blessed. And just listen. He says, but the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine. Yeah. Man, that's powerful. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. What he's saying is, the fruit of love, out of that fruit of love, every other fruit is consisted in love. Amen. In fact, Paul talks about 1 Corinthians, I can't remember the chapter, but he says, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Amen. In fact, this whole Bible is about love. The core of this Bible is about love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen. So love. Out of the greatest of the three, love is the greatest of them all. You ever thought about why? Because your faith will never work without love. The Bible says that. Your faith has to be motivated by love. Amen. And without love, there's no hope. Amen. So out of love, the fruit love, all of these other characteristics or traits come from that, from love itself. Or varied expressions. Joy that overflows. Peace that subdues. Patience that endures. How many of you can say, man, Lord, I need that. Patience that endures. Or patience that is constantly constant. Kindness in action. Isn't that wonderful? It's not so much kind words, but kindness in action. A life full of virtue. Faith that prevails. Gentleness of heart. And strength of spirit. Wow. Never set the law above these qualities or traits, for they are meant to be limitless in your life. Keep in mind that we who belong to Jesus, the Anointed One, have already experienced the crucifixion. When Christ was crucified, we were crucified. When Christ was resurrected, we were resurrected in Christ. Amen. For everything connected with our self-life was put to death on the cross and crucified with the Messiah. Therefore, we must live in the Holy Spirit and follow after him. Amen. Isn't that powerful? Let me read that again. Joy that overflows. And these are the fruit that Jesus is making mention about, that you will bear or have much of. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. If you abide in me, you will thrive, and you will bear much fruit. And most of all, my Father will be glorified. Amen. You know, when God sees, you know, like us grandparents or parents, you know, whenever our children shine or do something wonderful, yeah, that's my boy, that's my girl. Or when they do something wrong, well, that's the mama's boy or the daddy's boy. But you know, with Father God, man, when you bear much fruit, he says, man, that's my son, that's my daughter, you know. Praise the Lord. He just brings a smile to Father God's face. Amen. You received the word this morning? Have you been encouraged this morning? Well, Father, we thank you for your word. Father, it's a simple word. It's a word, Father, but it's a needful word for where you are leading us for this year. And Father, I thank you that the promise is in your word. Your promises are yes and amen to everyone that believes. And the promise is to us, as you have spoken, that if we live and remain and stay connected to you, the promise is we'll be fruitful, we'll be productive, we'll be successful of whatever life holds before us. But we need to remain in you, Lord. And Father, we're grateful as we understand what you are doing within our lives, within our hearts, by the Spirit of God. And Lord, even during our everyday living, Father, that we can see you, not only inwardly, but outwardly of what you're doing. And we're grateful and we're thankful to the Lord that daily, daily, Lord, these daily things that we do, we ought to do in order to abide in you. Thank you for giving us a simple lesson. Continue to give us understanding, Lord, and revelation for our lives, our personal lives, Lord, that we can thrive in our relationship with you, Jesus. That every day is a new day. Your faithfulness is new every morning. The possibilities of a new day is unlimited. Joy unspeakable. Patience that endures. Kindness in action. All of these fruit, Lord, that you had, Jesus, we want. Thank you. Continue to work within our hearts and lives, Spirit of living God, that these fruits will be developed. It'll be cultivated, developed, and ripen in our lives. And recognizing those areas in our lives that maybe has not been developed yet. But knowing that, Lord, you are doing a perfect work in my life. I just remain still and know that you're God in my life. That in you, I live and move and have my being. I recognize that everything that I am and everything that we will be is in you, is in Christ. Your future, your hope, your dreams, your identity is all in Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.